Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Source Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Grays. Go to ShadyGrays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two pairs of polarized sunglasses.
How do you go to Generino's? Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 325. Gumby promises, well, my co-host promises, wanted to go out to Frankie Dezine, one of our degens in the Discord at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. If you're not in, make sure you get in there. Gumby will probably describe it to us later, but he hit a massive multi-sport parlay, which is the true degen move. He had the Boston Bruins and he had Joe Pyfer, and I think he had another. There was a third leg, I think, to his parlay, but anyhow, they all hit, and I think it was for a big plus. Well, obviously it was for plus money, but I think it was like quadruple digit plus money. So Gumby's in the Discord promising people episodes, so fine. This one goes out to Frankie Dezine. And if you want an episode dedicated after you, then get in the Discord and do something to get our attention. Not something racist or dumb, just do something humorous. We like humor. Or hit a massive like plus $55,000 dog, and we'll dedicate an episode to you. All right, I'm one of the hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. Thank you for coming to the show. This is one of our recap episodes. UFC 287 went down last night from Miami, Florida. It was basically had a little bit of everything for a what you expect from a UFC card. It had fighters retiring when you know they're not going to retire. It had what? Right wing politicians being feted as per usual. It had questionable scorecards, you know, all the usual stuff that we expect from this lovely sport of ours. So let's we'll get down to and Gumby's going to spin it so that he had a good night, even though he went 6-6. But so it's your typical card. He's probably going to tell us how some of his picks should have won and they didn't too. So that's just the way it rolls. But we love him because he hit a couple important bets. So let's bring him in. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've now not lost more than one dog or one lock. Yep. All fucking year.
Whoa, language and, right out
and
of
I
the
hit,
gate.
And I hit another one. And not only did I hit my lock of the week, I hit my dog of the week. Yep. And not only did I hit my lock of the week, not only did I hit my dog of the week, I differed than Jeff on the main event, and
yeah,
I was
and you
right.
Hit it.
Yeah,
you actually got it right. It looked like I was seconds away from winning, but it was all
let's
duped us.
I was gonna say let's get right into this. Let's break this down. How much of this? Because he said in the post fight interview, I don't know if you listen because I know sometimes you don't listen.
I did hear some of it because there were so many good post fight speeches last night.
There were some good ones. There were some less than good ones, but there were some good ones. In Izzy's, he said he like rope-a-doped him, basically. He said he was trying to draw out confidence in the striking. And let me tell you something. If that is true, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's not true. But if it is true, it was brilliant. But my question to you is, do you think he backed up against the cage and basically put himself in the exact position he was previously knocked out in only to flatline Alex Pajeda? Or do you think that's a fun narrative that Izzy invented on his own?
It's a fun narrative. He always gets back in the cage now. That's his thing. That's why he isn't like the fighter he once was.
He didn't in the first round, though.
Yeah,
he was aggressive in the first round.
Because I put it in the Discord how I said right before he got the knockout, I said he's being too cautious. He's going to get knocked out, which is what happened last time. He let Pereira take it to him. He didn't get rocked or anything, but yeah, he was getting backed up to the cage. So I think him getting backed up to the cage was not the plan. It didn't really look – he was covering up pretty good, so I don't think he really was getting hit too bad there. And he through a Hail Mary, a type of punch that actually landed. So there
you go. Do you think it was a Hail Mary? I think he knew exactly what he was doing. He threw the same punch twice.
Yep, exactly. He hit it twice too. So yeah, so I missed out. It was looking good for me. I thought Pereira won the first round, but apparently he didn't officially. So
on zero, what do I know, judges, right? On zero judges' scorecards.
Yeah, well, I was being a little biased. Who knows?
I'll say this. I don't think you were being all that biased. I would say that first round to me was a coin flip. I scored it for Izzy. Again, I'm probably being a little biased because I wanted Izzy to win, not just for my bets, but also for the fact that, like, I love Izzy. You know, I've done multiple interviews with Izzy in my life. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch all time. It's not
even often. Now.
Yeah.
Not excluding last night. I mean.
No, I think
him interesting.
I think he gets a bad rap for being not entertaining. And don't get me wrong, are there some fights that were not entertaining? Yeah, the Yoel Romero fight, that fucking sucked. Maybe the second Marvin Vettori fight, that was not fun. But like, dude, give me both of the fights with Robert Whittaker all day. Give me the first fight with Alex Pajeda, that was fun. Give me the fight where he beat the piss out of Paulo Costa. I like that one. Like, I think we give this dude a bad rap for, like, not being a finisher when he's finished Robert Whittaker, Paulo Costa, and now Alex Pajeda. We're talking about a guy who's finished those three people, and we're sitting there talking about, like, oh, there's not much of a finisher. And meanwhile, on the same freaking card, we're talking about Jorge Masvidal, who everybody talks about being this, like, great finisher, like the greatest finisher of all time, when he has UFC decision wins over Tim Means, Pat Healy, Darren Cruikshank, James Krause, and Ross Pearson. Like everybody talks about Jorge Masvidal, like he's this like amazing finisher. Like, Israel Adesanya is 20 times more exciting most of the time than Jorge Masvidal. Jorge Masvidal just like had a fun knockout against Darren Till and Curly Head. Why is his name eluding
Chase
me?
Chase Hooper.
No. Yeah, thick Chase Hooper. Yeah, exactly.
Ben Askren. Chase Hooper's dad.
Yeah.
No one who's smart says that about Masvidal. And for the record, that was Izzy's first finish since September of 2020. So
you mean when he knocked out Paulo Costa, another high-level dude?
And then decision lost Blakovich. Decision Vettori. Decision Whittaker. Decision Cannonier.
But here's my question. I'll say the Cannonier fight was not terribly exciting. But did you think the second fight with Whittaker wasn't fun?
No, it's fun. It's just that he promises all this action and he wasn't bringing it for over 2 years.
And he KO'd Whittaker before that. The fight before that was the Calvin Gastelum fight. If you didn't have fun watching the Calvin Gastelum fight, I don't know what to tell you.
It didn't last night. We'll talk about that soon. But
I mean, we don't have to be happy about the result, but no, you have to be happy about the action. The action was fun.
And the important thing is Gumby hit his bet on Adesanya, -125. Seems most people in the Discord hit that bet too. Now the problem is what's next?
He was, by the way, +1300 to win in round two.
Whoa. Does anybody have that?
Maybe somebody I know. Yeah.
There's somebody in the Discord who always asks things like that, but
yeah, no, I maybe know one person, for sure who had that.
Was it you?
It was maybe I had.
Whoa! Doing the podcast today.
I had some leftover money coming to me from. So I put in a round robin this week. I occasionally go round robin. It didn't go too well. I won 1/5 of my money back.
How do those work for people who don't know? Quickly. So
round robin is you put anywhere between like 3 and 10 bets together. And then a round robin combines them all into parlays in any given order. So I pick 5 and it gives you all 5 of them in any 2-play combinations you want. And then any 3-play combinations you want. And then any 4-play combinations you want. And then a 5-part parlay.
Okay.
So like if you bet, that's 26 bets. So if you bet $1 on each of them, you get all of those different parlays. And it basically, instead of just betting a 5-part parlay that you'll probably never hit, it gives you like you know, some semblance of a backup plan. If you hit two, you probably win some of your money back. You hit three, you win your money back. You hit four, you're profiting. If you hit five, you hit the jackpot. So I only hit two legs of my five leg part. So I just like had a little bit of money sitting there in one of my accounts, and I was like, I gotta use it somewhere. What's Izzy winning in? And I said, knockout second round. Just threw it on there. 13-1. It made a good night a great night.
I can imagine.
And again, I just wanted Izzy to win anyway. Like that's the best part. So I just So back to your other point.
What's that? I had a point. Or I had a question.
You asked what's for Izzy next.
Yeah, what's this? Because apparently Pereira's going up. Oh, wait. Because it looked like they were in different weight classes last night. And now the talk is Pereira's going up to light heavyweight. So
do you want to tell the fine folks about our sponsors? And then I will tell
you.
Yeah,
I was just. Yeah.
Go ahead. You do that.
Shady Rays. We haven't talked about Shady Rays yet. Kick off the new year with new gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Less than all, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they have donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Here's what you need to do. Exclusively for our listeners, that's you, lovely people, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the year. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. So once again, ShadyRays.com, promo code SGPN. Okay. Apparently Pereira was mentioning going up as well, so we're not going to see a rematch here.
I don't think he mentioned going up. I think Dana White only mentioned him going up.
Yeah, there's no talk of, oh, he deserves a rematch. Like, because I guess the guy they want with the belt has it now. So they're like, okay, you can go away now.
Do you think the guy they want with the belt has it? Because my theory is the guy they want with it does not have it.
Okay, who would that be?
Kamzat
Chimaev. Jorge Masvidal. Oh, sorry?
Kamzat Chimaev.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes.
I think they want Izzy versus Kamzat. I think now that they got this win, they know they got the mileage out of the Izzy Pajeda fights.
They rushed it and it actually worked out.
Yeah, I think they rushed it and it worked out for them because it clearly popped, right? Like, I don't have the buy rate. I don't have the live gate. I don't have any of that information yet. I know it's kind of like yet to come out, right? But when it does come out, I think they did well. You can tell by the like UFC embeds, they did well. But that being said, I think it worked out for them because Izzy's the champ again. Pajeda is still highly marketable. I still think he'd beat a ton of light heavyweights. And I think he's saying that because now that Izzy has like, quote unquote, gotten his revenge, yeah. Izzy versus Kamzat is an absolute pay-per-view headliner that sells a million pay-per-views, right? Like, that is a huge buy rate that we're talking about if that one comes through.
Yes, for sure. And then I heard Błachowicz is talking about dropping down to fight him too at middleweight, which I think I saw that in Bloody Alba, which is interesting.
I can't imagine him losing enough to get there.
Yeah,
but I also can't imagine the UFC saying, because I know from Błachowicz, right, like his mental state here is like, I beat him at light heavyweight.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
I'll go down and get him. And that's marketable. Do you feel like Błachowicz, after dropping the fight he did, or it was draw, I guess, technically,
yeah,
has any leg to stand on for that fight?
No, not really. And he's getting long in the tooth as well. So
it just doesn't draw, right? Like, yeah. I'm not saying he's not worthy of it or not, but like, you have to have a certain stature to say, I'm going down a weight and I want the title shot, or I'm going up a weight and I want the title shot. You have to have a Henry Cejudo stature. You have to have a Conor McGregor stature. You have to have a Alexander Volkanovsky stature, and he's got none of those. Especially after drawing with Magomed Ankalaev in a fight where most people think Ankalaev won. So, I think this is Khamzat. I think it's Khamzat all day.
You think it's going to happen?
I do. He's worthy of it? Fuck no. No. I don't think he's even remotely worthy of it. But I think it's going to happen.
Strike while the iron is hot, because he might get exposed by someone else lower down the rankings. So you may as well, kind of like prayer. You got to rush him into it.
Right. I think that's 100% it. And I also think, you know, if for some reason he beat Izzy, you got the rematch there. That also sells well. If Izzy beats the hell out of him, Izzy's 40 times as marketable as he was before. Like, there's so many reasons to rush that. Yeah, like throw him right up the rankings. And for Pajeda, God, there are so many fun fights for Pajeda, whether or not he moves to 205 or not. Yeah. Like him versus Whitaker.
Well, he's barely fought anyone yet. That's the key. Yeah.
Him versus Whitaker. Him versus Marvin Vettori. Him versus, Dragos Duplessis. Him versus Bo Nickel?
Jamal Hill is what I heard. Jamal Hill. What do you think? He would destroy Jamal Hill.
I think he would. But to be fair, I think Jamal Hill is like maybe the fifth best light heavyweight in the world.
Yes, exactly.
So, if he wants to move up, I'll pick him as champion.
Yeah.
I'd rather he not move up and fight for the belt, because I'd rather Jiří Procházka win it first and him and Jiří in December.
He's in a cave somewhere still, is he not?
He was hiking some sort of fucking mountain recently.
He's the greatest.
He posted something to Instagram. I think I saw it this morning. His beard was like all full of icicles and shit. Like it was.
That was me too, but I don't climb mountains. But yes.
I mean, yeah, like he's a man. Do I love Jiří Procházka? Yeah,
he's a time traveler. He's from a different time.
I've interviewed Jiří Procházka twice and never been disappointed with the interview.
I heard them. You
yeah, they're so good.
Yep. All right, the biggest loser of this whole thing is Robert Whittaker, not Alex Pereira.
Yeah,
Robert Whittaker. They're not going to give him Adesanya again.
Because I would tell you, Alex Pereira wins this fight. Robert Whittaker is fighting for the title next, and he's champ.
Probably.
I would pick Alex. I would pick Robert Whittaker to beat Alex Pereira.
Yep, I think I would too. Yeah. Anywho, enough of. Well, actually, that was the only belt that really had significant meaning.
Wait, wasn't this next fight for the BMF belt?
No. That belt doesn't. The Rock was not there. The Rock was not there.
If The Rock's not there.
Yeah. Only a former president was there, not a future president.
The Rock.
How long we've been recording, Dan? Do you have that number there? Do I need to do another ad read yet?
It wouldn't hurt.
You're my producer.
Yeah.
All right. And then we'll get into the rest of the card.
Then we gotta fly.
All right. Block two. Underdog Fantasy. They're the kings of Block 2 here. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a great place to get down on fantasy and player props all year long. Underdog Fantasy has your favorite NBA, NHL, MLB daily games. Plus, they're already doing best ball drafts for the 2023 NFL season. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. There's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And once again, as we've said in the past, SGPN, just enter that code anywhere you buy stuff, and more than likely, you're going to get a discount.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We really don't need to say much about this, about the co-main event. Gilbert Burns won via decision right after I told I told the machine Munaf Manji, I said, take the under here. Oops. I meant take the over. 33-7, 29-28. I think Burns disappointed. I wanted him to come out and put his foot in the gas immediately and didn't really do that. He is a a jiu-jitsu ace, and he outboxed the king of whatever, king of Miami, king of the street boxing, king of whatever Masvidal is called.
He's not a king of anything.
Yeah, he outboxed him, which was impressive. But I guess I had a lot of picks on him winning early and winning violently, and that didn't happen. So I don't think he did anything for his case for wanting to jump the line and get the next title shots, whatever. Jorge Masvidal will be back in some form in combat sports. This is not the end, but anyhow, not much else to really say about the co-main event, is there?
I'm going to say two quick things. Number one, I think Gilbert Burns, who was largely, you know, I think I said before the fight started, I thought he was out to prove a point because everybody's, you know, Bilal, yeah, Shavkat, Colby Covington. I think he wanted to reinsert his name in there. And the best way to do that would have been a quick takedown and a submission in 13 seconds.
Didn't even try.
I think he thought the best way to do that would be to knock out a boxer.
Yeah.
And whether or not that's the right answer or the wrong answer, I'm not sure, but he tried it and he almost succeeded in it. So, you know, like whether or not that was the right move or not, you know, like who's to say? I'm not a genius about this. The second thing
you are a genius, though.
I am a genius.
Hard stop.
Just not about that. The second thing I will say is I do think we're done seeing Jorge Masvidal compete. I think he's done. He's got business interests everywhere.
Yeah.
He's got an MMA promotion. He's got a boxing promotion. He's making money in a whole bunch of different places. And
he's going to jail, isn't he?
He might also be going to jail. Who knows?
Covington's got brain damage.
And but I do.
Before think he got punched or after he got punched? Anyhow, go ahead.
Yes.
how would Colby Covington prove that he had brain damage?
I don't know, but fighting is probably not a good way to disprove it. But I'll say this about Jorge Masvidal. Like, he doesn't strike me as the type of guy who's a hanger-on. He's the type of guy who makes money off of his persona.
Yeah.
And that persona fades when you start losing boxing matches to 50-year-olds.
And brain cells.
And I think he's just going to be a businessman. And, you know, props to him if that works. Because as he said in his post-fight interview, like, he really did come from nothing. He came from being a street fighter and fighting on, like, shitty Bellator undercards.
Yeah.
And really, really, truly made a brand out of what he is. And whether or not he deserves the brand of what he is or not, who's to say? But, like, he did it, and, like, I don't think we'll see him again.
Okay. Fair enough with me. All right. What do we need to do next? So we both
have Gilbert Burns. We need to talk about how you picked Adrian Nunes.
Minus 450. I had already. I was like, Gumby, when are you going to stop banking on shop-worn fighters? Because we had Pons and Nibio fight right before this, and I thought, okay, Font's going to get it next. But no, Rob Font still has plenty left. That mass hole, Rob Font, came through for the resident mass hole here at Gumby Vreeland. Knocked TKO punches, 257 in the first round. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. He put it to Adrian Yanez. This was a big hit for Gumby. I think he wants to gloat. Plus 160, even though he lost way more money than I did last night. I think he's going to want to gloat here anyhow, because it was his
dog of the week.
Official dog of the week. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you hit your dog of the week?
No, not this week.
Of course not. You might
not. You were in on Chris Curtis too, don't you?
I was, but I didn't.
That was really a heartbreaker.
My dog of the week. And now that's my third dog of the week to hit in this less weeks. But I will say this. It was so clear that Adrian Yanez is a dude who gets hit too much to get hit by a guy like Rob Font. And I know I said that on Thursday. Like, Adrian Nunes got hit and wobbled by Randy Costa. Rob Font's not Randy Costa. Rob Font is Rob Font. And he learned how bad that is. I will also say this. I saw a breakdown. Damn, I wish I could remember who it was on Twitter. It was like one of those guys who does Twitter breakdowns. Not Jack Slack. That dude sucks. But one of the other ones who's actually
good at what he does. Fired.
Yeah, it's one of the guys who's actually good at what he does. But somebody said that Rob Font throwing a jab that he used only to set up a collar tie was so smart, because that's exactly what he did to Adrian Nunes, and it led to a violent finish. So yeah, props to Rob Font. Love that dog money.
Yep. Looking forward to fading him again next fight.
He's probably gonna fight somebody like man, he's probably gonna fight like Piotr Jan next, right?
Sure. Yeah. Book it.
Yeah,
book it.
Book it for me.
All right. Kevin Holland, he came through for me. Taking care of Santiago Ponzinibbio after he got his, it's still a Kevin Holland fight, so it was up in the air until it wasn't. I hit him at -230. He finally came through after getting his little chicken legs ate up, as did Israel Adesanya. But Adesanya, yeah, both these guys actually with their chicken legs got eaten up, but they came through anyhow. Knockout punch, 316 into round three. I'm gonna give Santiago Ponzinibbio benefit of the doubt that his senses weren't back fully when he was disputing that finish, because he was face down on the canvas eating punches and he thinks it was an early stoppage, but
yeah
he just got knocked out, so I think that's the key.
There's no reason to think that was an early stoppage.
No, it wasn't a TKO, it was a knockout.
He was in a really bad way. Here's the thing that was crazy about that fight for me. It felt like every single round we watched, first, second, and third round, Ponzinibbio won at least 3 minutes of it, but very clearly lost the round.
Yes, it was like he was fighting Chito Vera, that style.
Yeah. He was landing more than anybody else, and still very clearly getting beat. Good for Holland. Like, Holland proved me wrong. The length was a big piece of this fight too. So. Yeah. Which I know is one of your favorite things. So,
but I think I got the right
shout
article.
Shout out to the length bully.
Length does not really. I stopped tracking it stat wise because it was like 51% or whatever. Like even 4 inches or more, it was only like.
It helped you here.
Yeah, it did help, and he didn't talk much. Maybe that was the key. He was a bit quieter that fight.
You mean
right?
He fought like a real fucking fighter?
Yeah, he fought like he wanted to fight, and he's the good kind of weirdo. He doesn't say too many objectionable things. He's a fun weirdo.
Is he not the samurai ghost?
What?
Is he not a samurai ghost?
Samurai ghost? He's not a samurai ghost.
Yeah. We're going to talk about one of those later.
Yeah. Raul Rosas Jr. got exposed. Of course, when I'm in on him, the fight I'm in on him, he got exposed. Christian Rodriguez, came in overweight and really put it on this kid. It looked like a man against a boy. Rosas looked great round one. Looked like he was going to almost get an identical submission as he did in his debut. And then he was out of gas and got whooped. 29-27, 29-28, 29-28. We were both on the wrong side of this fight.
So we're going to talk about this fight at the exact same time we're going to talk about Sam Hughes versus Jackie Amorim.
Yes.
We're just going to lump them together because they're both basically identical scorecards.
Yep.
They're both basically identical fights.
Yep.
And what I'm going to say here about both of them is that Christian Rodriguez and Sam Hughes are both not better than Raul Rosas Jr. or Jackie Amorim. Jackie Amorim and Raul Rosas Jr., I think both have higher ceilings.
Right.
And will both accomplish more in their career than Christian Rodriguez and Sam Hughes. I do have high hopes for Christian Rodriguez. I think he's got a lot of potential. He's only 25. Sam Hughes is just like a cardio, like she's got weaponized cardio. That's basically what she's got. But I'll say this. Both of those guys were in on submissions. Amorim probably should have had a submission if somebody didn't dig in her gloves. Like, both of these fighters...
They both were doing that.
Yeah. Well, Amorim was towards the end of the fight.
Yeah.
But she was, like, in on a submission that should have gotten finished. And Hughes dug into the gloves. And the good news is then Hughes then openly admitted to her boyfriend betting on her, which should
Yeah, so that's the last we're gonna see of her.
Well, that'll definitely cause no problems. No problems at all.
You probably won't. That's the thing.
I don't know, but I think this one causes her problems. But regardless, I'm saying both of these guys. I don't feel bad having picked them, because in both instances I was like, I don't love these numbers. They're largely unproven. They're people who I wouldn't like go out of my way to bet on. And I would say this, like, they're both definitely better. They just like need to learn, especially as young fighters, they need to learn that this is not a situation where it's like one round or nothing, right? Like, you can't say I'm going to finish you in the first round or I'm going to be exhausted for the second round. And that's basically what happened to both of these people. both Rosas and Amorim. And once they learn that, like, hey, just pace yourself. Don't be a fucking idiot and, like, go after it. Once they realize that, I think they're going to be dangerous. So while we lost both of those fights, both of us lost both of those fights.
Yeah.
I don't worry so much about it.
And not only did Sam Hughes talk about her, that was in the official post-fight press conference too, right?
That was in an official post-fight press conference with the UFC. She said that her boyfriend put a grand on her.
And that she's going to take the money from him too. Something like that, or she wanted all
definitely not gonna cause, definitely not gonna cause any issues.
It wouldn't have, about what, 2 months ago would have been fine, right? Or 3 months
somewhere
ago. Now,
somewhere Jeff Molina is like shitting his pants. He's real bummed about the situation.
All right, so that was the main card. I only hit two fights, and Gummy hit three. You hit two and I hit two, that's right.
I hit the last three. I hit all the last three.
No, I'm talking about the main card. You hit, you hit Adesanya. You hit
all the last three.
Burns and Fun. Yeah, excuse me. You're right. There we go. I bolded the proper thing now. All right. Excuse me. Can't take away Gumby's precious wins here, can we? All right.
When it's my lock and my dog.
Yeah, this one hurt. Main event of the prelims. Calvin Gastelum. We've never seen this from Calvin Gastelum.
You look great.
I don't want to call him Triple C. Henry Cejudo he must really be a good trainer, like people claim he is, because Gastelum looked totally a brand new fighter. 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. I think he may have to start fading Chris Curtis. I think there's we've seen the ceiling for him. It's probably like fringe top 15. But we didn't expect Gastelum to come off the shelf, being on the shelf for so long, and really haven't not really looked top of his game for quite a while now, like quite a few years. But boy, oh boy, that was probably the best we've seen of him last night.
So I'm going to say a couple of things. I don't think you have to fade Chris Curtis yet. That's
depends who he's fighting, obviously. I said that there's a level. Like, ranked guys may be out of reach for him at this point. But anyway.
But here's the thing. I don't know that they are. Because, like, here, if that clash of heads doesn't happen in the second round.
Yeah, that too.
Like, could he have won that fight?
Yeah, he could have won that round, yeah. Because it's so dumb. Judges don't get any of the benefits that we do. They don't know how many strikes have landed. They don't know what was a foul and what wasn't a foul.
And if that wasn't a foul, Curtis wins that fight, right? Like he was winning the second round, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
he got knocked down.
So I think with the evidence that the judges were given, they made the right decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think if they were given all the information, I think they might have made the wrong decision. I think Curtis might have won that fight. But here's the thing. I think if Calvin Gastelum fights that way, but let me just throw this out here to you.
Oh, no. You can say something crazy. Everyone buckle up.
If Calvin Gastelum fights that way, with that speed, with that aggression, with that, you know, let's call it gusto. I think he's a top five middleweight.
Well, like, yeah, he was before, and he looked better than he ever did last night. So.
If he looked that fast and that crisp with his boxing, would you not pick him to beat Sean Strickland?
Yeah, Sean Strickland was in the corner watching all this happen too. So.
Yeah, I think he beat Sean. Hands off of Sean Strickland looking like that. Do you think he beat Paulo Costa?
Who knows with that guy? Probably. I think I would trust Gastelum more at this point.
Do you think he would be at the very least competitive with Marvin Vettori?
Yeah, I think Vettori we've probably seen the best of him too. So yeah,
and that's the number three middleweight right now.
Oh yeah, we're talking about middleweight. That's true.
And so I'm telling you, like, don't get me wrong, he's had some stinkers lately, but if he shows up looking like he just did against Chris Curtis, man, dude, I think I take Calvin Gastelum over a lot of people looking like that.
Man, dude, it's true. Women's strawweights, Michelle Waterson Gomez. She looked better. Oh, no, maybe not better than ever, but she
better than she has.
Yeah, in a long time. She was definitely game. Luana Pinheiro, split decision, but I picked her to win. So that's all that matters. 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. Pinheiro. Both ladies looked fine in that fight.
Yeah, that. This
How's that for a summary? They both look fine.
This was an easy one for me. I thought Pinheiro won. I think people who were picked Michelle Waterson her whining a little bit, but I don't think she won. The Sherdog people think that Michelle Waterson won, so that's all you need to know.
I think a lot of it's narrative. If someone does better than you expect, I think a lot of times you see them get
That's a really great point, and we'll talk about that in two fights.
Yes, I'm so smart. We have Pinheiro at -162. Looking forward to what? Like, she's undefeated in the UFC now. It's 3-0, I think. So I'm looking forward to.
I would say she did underwhelm a little bit. I thought she's more dominant.
She still really wings her punches, and she didn't get the judo grappling going like we expected. But Waterson looked better than expected too. So anyhow, a win over a veteran, we'll take it, right?
Yep.
The Pfeiffer prophecy came through. Right,
Gumby. Jong's Pfeiffer prophecy. Jong has prophecy. A dream, and we're not gonna call it a dream. We're gonna call it a prophecy because it mostly came true. Jong had a prophecy that Joe Pfeiffer would only throw 4 punches in this fight. He threw slightly more.
Yeah.
He thought he would throw 4 punches to beat Gerald Meerschaert, and it was pretty damn close.
He TKO'd him with punches 3:15 in the first round. We were expecting this to happen, hoping for this to happen. It was our lock was Pfeiffer to win.
Both of us had him as a lock.
I think I wrote that it was going to be quick on my Money MMA Substack, and it was quick. Pfeiffer came through for us.
Hey, real quick question. Where do you rank Joe Pfeiffer right now? Would he beat middleweights too? Would he be, you know, we're just talking about shitty ranked middleweights, right? Like that's the thing about middleweight right now is it's like, not a particularly good division, but like if you go and look at the ranked middleweights right now,
it'd be Chris Curtis. We'll throw that out right there because they're on the same time schedule now.
I'm not gonna take Chris Curtis because that's a complicated question. He'd beat Andre Muniz though, right?
He's more well rounded, so yeah, probably. Muniz didn't look good last fight, so yeah, sure.
How would he do against Jack Hermanson?
Hermanson's. He's good sometimes. He's also bad sometimes.
I think he'd beat Jack Hermanson.
Well, who are you booking him with next instead of doing all this hypothetical stuff?
I want to.
What's your prophecy?
I honestly want to book him with Brendan Allen.
Really? Brendan Allen was at the fights last night too.
Who wouldn't love that fight though?
Sure.
Right.
Brendan Allen may not like it.
Yeah, Brendan Allen would hate it. Brendan Allen thinks he's getting like Derek Brunson's about to retire, right?
Yeah.
But like Brendan Allen thinks he's getting like Paulo Costa, Dricus Du Plessis or something like that. And really, he's probably going to have to fight Joe Pfeiffer.
Yeah. Be like Joe came through. Jong is also mad that his girlfriend remains a unicorn. Not Jong's girlfriend, but Joe Pfeiffer's, who she appeared briefly on Dana White's Contenders
Series. We'll find her for you, buddy.
And everyone when eyes popped out of their heads, all our sickos in the Discord, and she hasn't been seen since. So
I'll put somebody on it. I got people in the John Marquez camp.
There you go. Women's strawweight again. Our girl Lupi came through. Lupita Godinez didn't fight the smartest fight. She gutted out a win over Cynthia Calvillo, who this is kind of like the fight we just broke down, Pinheiro Waterson. Calvillo looked better than she has in the past. She actually made the weight, looked way bigger than Godinez. It wasn't enough. 28, 29, 29, 28, 30, 27. The right card is Godinez winning, and we had that. Wish she would wrestle because that was the key. Instead, Calvillo took her down. Godinez seemed to be a bit too happy striking with her. But hey, what can we say? It was successful and she won. She didn't look like a -270 pick, but that's what she was.
Yeah, I don't have much to say here other than I had Lupi winning. I think she clearly won one round, and the other two were coin flips. So I actually don't think any of these scorecards were particularly bad. Like I think at the end of the day, like I think Godinez clearly won round one. I think she probably won rounds two and three, but both of them more of a coin flip. So like this is one of the rare split decisions that I think was not that bad.
Cormier and Rogan were in on Calvillo, so that's how we know we were right.
That's right. That's right.
They were talking about every jab she landed. It was
Joe Rogan also said, and I quote, about the Gilbert Burns and Jorge Masvidal fight. This third round is so close. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
And that was right after the eighth time that Gilbert Burns tagged and wobbled Jorge Masvidal.
Yep. And If luckily someone didn't lose their mouthpiece, because that would have been all he would have talked about that whole fight. So he gets so transfixed. If someone loses their mouthpiece, that's all he can talk about.
That motherfucker loves a narrative.
Oh my god, mouthpieces. Then yeah, we don't need to talk about the horrible announcement that we had. Did you know that Jacqueline Amarine won multiple times in that first round? That's it. It's over. Multiple times. It's over.
We don't have to talk about that fight.
Pop. That's always when the head pops out of the submission is when Rogan says it's over. All right. So that was the early, the main prelims, early prelims. Ignacio Bahamondes made me look great. He took apart Trey Ogden, 33-7, 33-7. I don't see where the 29-28 came in, but one of the rounds I think I kind of spaced out. But Bahamondes came through a big minus 3-3-3 hit for me.
Yeah, that dude's got to shoot a takedown in there. Right.
What do you think of him as a prospect? He's so big. He's still Baja super Mondays? Young too. But yeah.
I like Baja Mondays as a prospect, especially because he's fought a fight already with somebody who loves to kickbox and is only going to kickbox him, and did excellent. Right. Like he did really good against John McDessie. Yeah. And not many people are going to. And you know, I saw people say like, why isn't Trey Ogden shooting a takedown? Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that?
Close enough.
He couldn't get near him.
Exactly.
That dude couldn't get within the same zip code as him. So, yeah. Props to Baja Mondays. 155 is such a hard division, so I think he needs to like round things out. But he's also so young.
Yeah. Right. Six foot three, lightweight, who's only 25 soon.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth keeping
worth keeping an eye on. For sure.
Steve Garcia made me look like a genius and got me props in the discard, which is all I'm here for. And I think it was the fellow Canadian, right? Mac Attack, who was propping me up.
Loves Canadians like you do.
Because this is part of my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight fights that I hit. This one was just hit. This was a big plus 180 hit for me. Garcia
you
almost got knocked out.
Six in a row.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
No, five in a row. Never mind.
Garcia, almost got knocked out in the first round, and then kind of almost, well, he at least hurt Nurdambek, to close the round, and then he finished him off. Body kick. I love body finishes. Body kick or punch finishes. Body kick and punches knock out. 36 seconds into round two. You should not fade a person who's a friend of your Top Turtle podcast, Dan.
No, Top Turtle sweep this week.
You did.
And next week's got three people on him, so you can just three-person parlay those.
There we go. We're going to have three guaranteed wins next episode.
Yeah. Actually, I think all three of the people who are on my show next week are going to win, so cool. Be ready for that.
Any thoughts on that fight or no?
I mean, Garcia is just so tough.
Yeah, he got it out that win for sure.
I can't believe he took those shots from Nurdambek.
Nurdambek is so big and ripped too.
Dude, he hits your type of like guy. And he hits like a truck. And somehow Garcia's like, that's cute, and just like gets back up.
Yep. So there you go. And then we already talked.
I have one big thought.
All right.
It's absolutely fucked that Steve Garcia didn't win a performance bonus.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't get fight of the night or knockout of the night.
That dude told me last week when I interviewed him that all he wanted to do with his 50K that he won from the Chase Hooper knockout was buy himself an RV, and he had to pay bills instead. And he said the next bonus is the RV bonus. And I said, this is the fight for you then. Go get that RV bonus. And after that knockout, I was sure he was getting it. No RV for my boy.
He's probably only making like less than 20 grand. He probably made about 30 or so last night. So yeah, I don't know if you can get an RV for that much.
He probably made 25, 25, right?
Yeah, maybe about 50 or so. And then, yeah, no bonus, but Israel Adesanya needs an extra 50K. That's why. So, and then we already talked about the opener. Jackie Amarin broke our hearts, broke Jong's heart. Jong went silent for a while there and then came back. And
I don't blame him. That's a bummer. Like she had to choke.
Yep. Oh yeah, she won multiple times. So like I said, not in the real world though. So that concludes the night. Gastelum Curtis was fight of the night, which is what I predicted in my pick'em contest I run on my Substack. So hooray for me, even though I exclude myself for winning. Adesanya and Rob Font got the performance of the night bonuses, not knockout of the night. Like I said, I dated myself by saying that, didn't I? I went 7-5. I lost $72. Lucky I hit that plus 180. And Gumby 6-6. only lost $185, which is an improvement for him over last
but,
week.
But who won? Who hit their dog of the week?
No, I'm not there yet. Okay, you can wait. Gumby is hitting a whopping 52% of his picks this year. Whew.
What percent of my locks am I?
And hitting? He's down some money. I'm hitting 66%. I dropped a little bit, and I'm down $11 now, so I got to pick it up. Locks. I am 6-1, up 100, up 22%. Gumby is 9-1, up 31%. So that's some good money. We both hit Joe Pyfer.
Just bet my locks every week.
Yep. Gumby hit his dog plus 160. Rob Font, I missed Chris Curtis. We were both down money in our dogs. We were down money in our props. So I was up, but not after last night. I had Burns via sub, which should have happened, but he didn't do it.
Get after it, Burns.
Emerin via sub, which should have happened as well. We should have hit that too.
I almost swept if Emerin finished that in the first round.
And then we didn't hit either legs of the Hungry Man John Superfan Parlay. Chris Curtis knockout, Pinheiro inside the distance. You got to do better, Gumby. Okay.
I got you next week.
All right, whatever. We got all the listeners to listen for your big plus 21.95 underdog anyhow. So that's all that matters. Downloads. Next week, we've already talked about next week. We told you about Gumby's got some locks for you already. UFC and ESPN Holloway versus Allen. It's on the big ESPN one, so it's a big event. On my wife's birthday next Saturday, Max Holloway versus Arnold Allen is the main event. Edson Barboza, Billy Quarantillo, Dustin Jacoby, Azamat Mirzakhanov, Jan Kudalaba, Tanner Bozer, as he drops down to light heavyweight. Pedro Munoz, Chris Gutierrez, Clay Guida, Hoffa Garcia is the main card. We got Bill Augeo, TJ Brown, Brandon Royval, Matias Nicolau should be higher up in the card. Zach Cummings, Ed Herman, a loser leaves town match, probably.
No, it's not a loser leaves town match. That's how much do we love these guys, man?
Yeah, they're still around, those two. Jillian Robertson, Canadian, versus Pierre Rodriguez. Did I miss any other Canadians? Oh, yes, I did. Tanner Boser. Lando Venata, Daniel Zellhuber. That fight has already been talked about in our Discord. So if you're a sicko and you're talking, want to talk about Lando Venata, Daniel Zellhuber, more than a week in advance or around a week in advance, then our Discord's a place for you. Bruno Brazil, I know that name, versus Denise Gomez. Aaron Phillips, Gaston Bolanos, Jocelyn Edwards, Lucy Pudulova. That's our fight card.
Yeah, it's a sick one.
It's a sick one, guys.
I love this card.
We've given you more than enough. These recaps are always long, but they're fun to do. So hopefully it's fun to listen to. If you made it this far, it must have been fun, or you're doing some horrible job and you're just trying to make time go by, or you're locked up or something like that. Thanks for listening. What else can I tell you? Get in the Discord. I told you that already enough. SGPN MMA is our handle on Twitter. Gumby puts sick posts on there. He's also Gumby Vreeland. I'm also a Jeff Fox writer. I told you my Substack's moneymma.substack.com. A free subscription will get you into our pick 'em contest every week. So, and you can win free stuff. Who doesn't like free stuff? Top Turtle MMA, Gumby hinted that he has three people from next week's fight card on next week's Top Turtle podcast. Do you want to tell people who they are now, or you want to wait?
Sure. Yeah, you can tune in. You're in the can. You can turn in hopefully Tuesday and hear Dustin Jacoby, the aforementioned Zach Cummins, who was fighting Ed Herman, and then a Portuguese language interview with Bruno Brazil.
I love interviews with interpreters, Dan.
Do you know who the interpreter is for the Bruno Brazil interview?
Who?
You actually know the interpreter.
Really? Who would that
be? Yeah. It's Kai Bohio. It's Kai Bohio.
Oh, are they together or something?
No. Bruno Brazil is married to her wife, but Kai Bohio trains with her and agreed to translate for the interview, which was pretty freaking cool.
I'm married to my wife as well, so that's the way these things work, right? I found this hard to. I just went through the card earlier today. I'm like, wow, these are some tough fights to pick. I haven't looked at lines or anything yet, but I think it may, like last week's card, I zipped through.
I think I have three fights that I haven't picked yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like the main event. Who knows? I always
the main event is holiday, but the main event is the second hardest one behind Lando Venata versus Daniel Zellhuber.
I've been there's that fight again. Venata Zellhuber is the people's choice apparently on Discord. I think I've hyped up all their stuff. Oh, obviously the website sportsgamblingpodcast.com. That's the place to be. All right, that's enough. We'll be back in yours tomorrow. regional action time, right? We had a vote because it was going to be either. Actually, we're big on PFL and on LFA around these parts, or at least our fans are. So we had a vote. PFL squeezed out a victory. So we're going to give you five picks on that card. It's week three of the PFL. So we'll get that in yours on Monday, right?
That's right.
Right. I think I'll be wanting to do LFA, but take that.
Okay. I'll hit you with LFA picks PFL's in the Discord. Fine. So make sure you get in the Discord.
That's true. PFL is fine as well. Okay. We will speak again tomorrow. Until that time, remember, I'm the Argentine Dagger, Jeff Fox. My co-host, of course, is C-Rod Gumby Freeland, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.